لا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أتقى الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى، وخير الحديث هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وقد جاء الحق وزهق الباطل. أما بعد، so in the last lecture we went through some of the statements of our Salaf al-Salih, the past predecessors of Islam, and we went through some of the proofs of their understanding, such as the understanding that we do not distort any of Allah's names and attributes, we don't make ta'weel or explain them away, we do not make ta'weel or negate Allah's names and attributes, whether by meaning or by wording itself, neither do we ask how or specify how Allah's attributes are, and also we do not make resemblance or tashbih or tamthil, giving examples of similitude of Allah Ta'ala's names and attributes. And then we mentioned that a sect amongst the Muslims which exists and is very widespread today, the Ash'aris, we mentioned that some of the problems with their understanding in Aqidah. The reason why we are talking about the Ash'aris more than any other group is because generally what the Ash'aris say, a lot of other groups, they stem their beliefs in Allah's names and attributes from what the Ash'aris themselves say. That's the first reason. The second reason is the fact that the Ash'aris today are so widespread, and the Muslims are in great confusion, unfortunately, as to what is the correct aqidah of the Salaf al-Salih and what was the correct aqidah of Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Some of the proofs that the Ash'aris bring, we will go through just one or two in order to get a feel of the type of evidences they bring, and most of the evidences are of a similar nature. And before we do that, some questions came up which perhaps it may be appropriate to mention the answer to right now, and that is with regards to Imam Ghazali. We quoted a few things by Imam Muhammad al-Ghazali, and his understanding of Allah's names and attributes. So a few questions popped up with that regard. One was, should we not read texts and other materials by Imam Ghazali? And from that, the answer to that question will come, inshallah, I'm just pointing out where it will come, when we start talking about Imam An-Nawawi, which we will go into in this lecture, inshallah. So just look out for that, or listen out for that. Likewise, another question in the same regard was, Do you say that Imam Ghazali is a kafir? Alhamdulillah, I'm not sure. The answer to that is no, we don't. Because, and the questioner said that the reason that question was asked is because of the, some of the statements that we mentioned from some of the Salaf about whoever rejects Allah's names and attributes is a kafir and so on. The point to note is that ta'wil is of three types. Explanation or ta'wil, taking something away from its literal meaning and giving it, or a correct meaning and giving it a false meaning in this concept. In, it's not always the definition of ta'wil, but the definition I'm using now. When you're explaining something away, so you're not giving the correct interpretation, but the false interpretation, could be of three categories. One is, the first is kufr. The second is bid'ah, and the third is as a mistake. So if a person who gives a false understanding or he denies absolutely, without any proof, without any justification, no statements of the Salaf, then this individual has committed kufr. Like the kufr of the Jahmiyyah, who just outrightly denied Allah's names and attributes, such as they said Allah doesn't have a hand. Allah did not create Adam with his hand. Even though Allah didn't create Adam with his two hands. That is kufr. They don't have any proof whatsoever for what they're saying. They're just literally denying the text of Revelation. The second type is an innovation which can lead to kufr. But initially it is an innovation, a bid'ah. And that is when a person, he uses some sort of evidence, even though the evidence may be weak or fabricated, or it's an explanation that he gives. It is just a bid'ah. It may be jahil of some other text or whatever. So for example, when a person uses a weak hadith to prove something, usually this becomes an innovation and not kufr, because he has a ta'wil for it, an explanation for his error or his grave mistake. And the third type of ta'wil is that ta'wil, or rather I should say that there's three types of tahrif, distortion. Okay, three types of distortion, tahrif. The first is a distortion which is kufr, which has no proof whatsoever. The second is bid'ah, when it is based on a ta'wil, when it has some sort of explanation with it, be it a, and even though it's a false explanation, when they have an interpretation for what they're doing, like a weak hadith or the likes of that. And the third is just a mistake. He distorted the text. The scholar distorted the text because he just did not know. Or because it was widespread at that time. This innovation was something widespread. This tahrif was so widespread. And perhaps this individual learned under certain people who held his beliefs. There are many reasons why ulama make mistakes. And every alim makes mistakes. Some make mistakes greater than others. And yes, Ghazali was criticized for this aqidah with regard to Allah's names and attributes. But no doubt, he is still a scholar. And we respect him as a scholar. But as I said, every individual makes mistakes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he said, when a judge judges, he gets two rewards. If he makes ijtihad, or he strives and to get a ruling, one for striving, just paraphrasing, and one for the actual ruling. It is two rewards if he is correct, and one reward if he is incorrect for striving. So based upon that, we cannot go around criticizing, condemning scholars, no. But we point out some of the mistakes that other scholars
have pointed out. Not that we ourselves can point out, no. But what other scholars have pointed out. Such as Imam An-Nawawi, rahmatullah alayh. When he fell into some ta'weel, or rather he fell into tafweel, not ta'weel, tafweel, negating or renegating the attributes or the meanings of the attributes to Allah. The point is that Imam An-Nawawi was not a muhakkik in this field. He wasn't a researching scholar in this field. And this can be seen because he's always quoting from Qadi Iyad or Al-Maziri whenever he's talking about Aqidah or the attributes of Allah. It's not something that he's researched himself, it seems, from his works. And Imam An-Nawawi was not Ash'ari. He didn't have the general usul of the Asha'ira. Perhaps he fell into some tafweel. But every scholar makes a mistake. As we see, Imam An-Nawawi's general principles were the principles of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And the reason, as I said, why a scholar makes so many mistakes, why a scholar makes mistakes, are many. There are many reasons. As I said, perhaps he studied under a group of scholars who have this opinion. And hence, it gets filtered down to you. And so on. But as we mentioned, we can't bring 6th or 7th century scholars to prove a certain methodology, as the Ash'aris always do. They say, look, majority of the 6th, 7th century scholars, they held these Ash'ari beliefs. This is not the case, because there were other scholars also, many scholars in fact, of that time, who criticized Imam An-Nawawi in his Aqidah. And others like them, like him, rahmatullah alayhim ajma'in. Their manner was to take from the book of the Sunnah according to the understanding of the Salaf. But every individual makes mistakes. For if there were people who did not make mistakes, they would be prophets. Because it is only the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who does not make mistakes, or who did not make mistakes in this ummah with regard to the deen of Islam. And if he made not a mistake, but if he chose the lesser of the two goods, he had two options, both of which were good, but he chose, the Prophet ﷺ chose the lesser of the two goods, Allah Ta'ala would correct him on that. And hence, that would be made clear to the Muslims. So only the Prophet ﷺ is ma'asoon. No other individual, not even Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, was ma'asoon. Was free from error in the religion itself. So, we can look at one of the greatest scholars and one of the most beloved students and people to Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullah alayh, whose name was Ibn al-Attar. And he was known as Mukhtasar al-Nawawi, the summarized version of Nawawi. We have Bukhari, Sahih Bukhari, the book, and then we have Mukhtasar al-Bukhari, the summary of Bukhari. They used to call Ibn al-Attar the summarized version of Imam al-Nawawi, because he was the one, he was one of the most he was one of the top students of Imam al-Nawawi, the most beloved students. In fact, al-Nawawi entrusted the completion of Sharh al-Muhazzab to him if he was to die before he completed it. He entrusted Ibn al-Attar to complete this work of his if he was to die before completing it. Shows his love for the student, Ibn al-Attar. What did Ibn al-Attar say? He, after studying with other scholars as well, such as the students of Ibn Taymiyyah, like Zahabi and others, he took back his position on Tafreed, and he said, in his work on belief, he said, it is obligatory to believe that which Allah has affirmed in his book and upon the tongue of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the truth. And he says, and when it is affirmed in the great book and the prophetic sunnah, that he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, created Adam with his hand, and that he said to Iblis, what prevented you from prostrating to one who I created with my two hands? And it is established in the Sahih regarding the dispute between Musa and Adam, that Musa said to him, Allah created you with his hand. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relating from his will, I do not make from the progeny of one who I created with my two hands, like one to whom I said be, and it was. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ibn al-Attar continues, that Allah created Firdaus with his hand, and the gardens of paradise with his hand, and wrote the Torah with his hand. Hadith. And then Ibn al-Attar continues, and narration other than these. He says, it is obligatory upon us to believe that this is the truth, and forbidden upon us that we say that Allah has spoken to us with what we understand, and we do not understand hand except something possessing a palm and fingers, and therefore liken it to the creation and arrive at Tasjeen. Allah, Tasjeen, affirming a body to Allah. Allah is exalted above what the unjust say. Likewise, it is forbidden that we say the meaning is favor and power. It's forbidden to say this, he says, because it is infeasible to take it to mean the hand we understand, so it necessitates taking it to mean that thing, taking it to mean power due to fearing tashbih. Such a stance is distortion, he continues, tahrif, containing ta'til, negation or denial. How is this possible when the consensus is that the attributes are to be believed in exactly as revealed by the Sharia? That is here. Furthermore, the meaning of what they make ta'wil of is not established. And ta'wil is the way of the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiyyah. We seek refuge in Allah from that. And it is necessary to absolve the Creator from tashbih and ta'til by staying away from tahrif and takyif and tamthil, Ibn al-Attar. And by taking to his saying, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. He says, so when the book and authentic narrations affirm the attributes of hearing, seeing, eye, faith, knowledge, power, strength, greatness, will, desire, word, speech, pleasure, displeasure, love, hatred, delight, laughing, it is obligatory, listen carefully, Milapar says, it is obligatory to believe in them literally without likening to the creation, and to stop at what Allah said about himself without adding, increasing, asking how, takif, tahrif, distorting, tabdil, changing, taghyir, in other words, for changing. And some of them negated Nuzul, he continues, the descent of Allah, to the Lord said in the last verse of the night. And they weakened the ahadith, or made ta'wil, fearing tahayyuz, or confinement to Allah in a particular place. foreign movement or transmission that would necessitate a body, but the researching scholars, muhaqqiqeen, they affirm them and obligated faith in them as Allah wills. And all of these verses and ahadith affirming the attributes of coming, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ, Allah comes, your Lord comes, His nuzul, His dissension, His faith, and other than these, the scholars obligated faith in them and leaving contemplation of them and depicting a form for them. So you can see that his student Ibn al-Attar rejected what his teacher Imam al-Nawawi said. Likewise, many other scholars, they reprimanded Nawawi for this position, and others, may Allah have mercy on all of them. So, as I said, the reason for mistakes of scholars are many. If you, perhaps they study under a certain group of scholars who have only given them these sort of evidences or other than these reasons, inshallah they will still be rewarded with one reward. Because when a judge judges, if he errs, he still gets one reward. And if he's true, if he is correct, he'll get two rewards, inshallah. Let us look at some statements that some people, they claim, or they claim prove in ta'wil, they claim prove the obligation of ta'wil. One such person, whom I think many of us are familiar with, his name being Nuh Hameen Kalam. And I do not like to wish the name, to mention the names of people, except that it is necessary because many people have fallen into this taqleed of Nuh Hameen Kalam, following him and his companions in this matter of Aqidah. Now, it is obligatory upon us to turn to the texts. We cannot say, yes, such and such a shaykh says, so therefore I'm going to follow it, even though Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said otherwise. Regarding belief, in the grave when the person is asked the three questions, who is your Lord? What do you know about this man Muhammad that was sent to you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What was your deen? What will the kafir and the hypocrite say? He said, ah, is what he will say. Ah, I do not know. La adri. Ah, la adri. I don't know. Sami'tu an-nasa yaquluna shay'a. فَقُلْتُهُ, I heard the people saying something. So I said it. This is not the position of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. It is upon us to refute the heretics and the innovators. It is upon us to refute the false methodologies that oppose the way of the Salaf. And as we've seen in the last lecture, the opposition that such people have to the way of the Salaf. This man Nuh Hameen Kalam, he says, he quotes the ayah of the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, number 7, verse 51. He said, today, men sahum, we forget them. Allah says, we forget them. As they have forgotten the meeting of this day of theirs. Men sahum. And Kala says, this verse, which the early Muslims used to interpret figuratively, as reported by a scholar who was himself an early Muslim Salafi
caliphs.
And indeed the Shaykh of the early Muslims in Quranic exegesis. The Hadith master, Hafiz ibn Jarir al-Tabari, who died 310 years after the Hijrah. And he explained the above verse. Today we've forgotten them. We forget them, or we've forgotten them, as we have forgotten the day of theirs. As meaning, this day, Resurrection Day, we shall forget them, so as to say we shall abandon them to their punishment. Is what Tabari said. Now this is precisely ta'wil, says Keller, or interpretation in other than the verse's ostensive sense. He goes on to say that the same ta'wil was reported by Ibn Abbas and his student Mujahid. Any person who is to look into Lisan al-Arab or other such dictionaries that are well agreed upon of the Arabic language, they will know that Nansahim comes from the root word Nasiya Yansa, and it can mean to either deliberately leave and abandon, or to fail, forget, or to forget and fail to remember. This word, Nasiya Yansa, which means Fahum, comes from in this verse. It actually has two meanings. One is the meaning of abandoning. It is the meaning of leaving purposely, deliberately. The son of Arab. Check for yourself. And another meaning is to forget. So he quotes Imam al-Tabari and he quotes Ibn Abbas al-Mujahid, claiming that they made ta'wil, but in reality they only gave the verse its literal meaning, which one of the literal meanings of the word nasiya yansa, nansa, we forget them, or it really, it literally also means we will abandon them. It is not a ta'wil. It is not a ta'wil. Somebody says, coming Ibn Abbas and Mujahid, we will abandon them in the punishment which cuts them off, leaving them hungry and thirsty without any food or drink, just as they have abandoned action for the meeting on this day and they rejected preparation for it. And we've explained clearly the meaning of his saying Mansahum previously along with its witnesses, so there is no need to repeat it. That's what somebody says. So he's not making ta'wil, brothers, he's not, and sisters. He is just explaining the verse in the literal sense. Why try to deceive the people? A second example. He says, and once again I urge those who are listening to this on tape to go away, and if you haven't learned, listen to the previous lectures that we gave yesterday and today, to listen to all of those lectures before this particular lecture that I'm giving now. Because you can see that generally there were many statements of the early Salaf in the first 300 years. And we can understand their position with regards to Allah's names and attributes. It is not a ta'wil or a tafwir. They do not distort, they do not negate or deny Allah's names and attributes. So these people, they bring such statements in order to prove that they did make ta'wil. I mean, God doesn't win, don't these people? When they change, that such statements actually go against what the early first Salaf said in the first 300 years. Their own statement that this is Ta'wil, this is not Ta'wil. Let's look at another example. Allah says, and the sky reverted, de-aiding. Verily we outspread it. Now we know that the word for two hands is yadayn.
I don't have the actual verse on me. I can look that later and show the reference.
Allah says we created, or sorry, we built the sky, the Aiden. We know Yadayn means two hands, Yadayn. Means my two hands. This verse that we're talking about doesn't use these two words. It's be'aidin. The real word for Bu'aydin Alif Ya Dal. The real word is Alif. Alif, Ya, Dal. Again, this word actually means power. Power, he says, he assumes that the Aiden means hands, and it doesn't mean hands. And he quotes following Saqqa. He seems to have just taken all this from Saqqaf's works. He says, At-Tabari ascribes ta'wil, figurative interpretation of with hands as meaning, quote, with power, through by change of narration or by change of transmission to Ibn Abbas. It's what Kenneth says. So he assumes that the Aiden means with hands, as he says here. He says, At-Tabari ascribes the figurative explanation, ta'wil, of with hands to mean, as meaning, quote, with power, through fire chain and transmission to Ibn Abbas. So he translates the Aiden as meaning with hands. And then, he says, look, Tabari says, it's with power. Again, if you look in any Arabic dictionary, you'll find that the root word Alif Ya Dal, which is the root word of the Aiden, actually means power and not hand, as Keller thinks. So again, there is no ta'wil. And even if that's the case, even if it is the case that the Aiden means hands, Allah says, and the sky we built, bi'aydin. Even if I'm saying that it was to mean hands, let's say they can prove that bi'aydin means hand. We also found that firstly a literal meaning is power of this word bi'aydin, which is not the same as yadayn, which is the other, or yadayya, which is what is used when Allah says, and I created Adam with my two hands. Here he uses the yadayya, with my two hands, not the aydin. So this word, the aydin here, the aydin, even if it was to mean hands, it does not prove that it is one of Allah's attributes here, in this verse, the aydin. Because Allah says, and the sky we built, the aydin. Which doesn't mean, or if you were to take it to mean with hands, it would translate, and the sky we built with hands. Allah doesn't say his hands. Can you see that? So first of all, he's claiming that Tabari made ta'wil, but he's not. Tabari is just giving the literal meaning, which is power of the word bi'aydin, which is not to be confused with the word yadayya or bi'aydin. Okay? So what? So first of all, he assumes that he means hand, and then he says it means, your Tabari says it's power, so therefore this is ta'wil. Which is first mistake. And then secondly, he goes on to claim, or say, secondly, even if this verse was to mean hands, there's no ascription to Allah of the aydin in this verse. He says, we created the sky, we built with hands, if we were to assume that the word the aydin means hands. So then they may say, but I thought Ahl Sunnah take the Qur'an upon its literal understanding. We reply that no. The asl is that we take the Qur'an according to the understanding of the Salaf. With regard to Allah's names and attributes, it has been proven that the Salaf took them literally, without distorting and so on. With regards, if they took something not to be literally, then we will take them not to be literally. But in the field of Allah's names and attributes, we take Allah's names and attributes according to the verse, the Salaf, just like everything else, and we find that the Salaf take Allah's names and attributes as being literal. This is why they bring verses the following that I should go through, and for more information you can refer to Islamic Network's website, www.islam.net, with two A's. ISLAAM. And these arguments are all in there by Brother Abu Ramesa. I've just taken it from there. One thing I'd like to quote from this book, The Reliance of the Traveler, found unfortunately in many libraries today. The book itself starts off with a translation of Umdat al-Salik, which is a classical book of fiqh by Ahmed ibn Naqib al-Misri. But in his appendices, the translator Nuh Ha Mim Kala says, and I quote, in Fundamentals of Islamic Faith, Usul, virtually all of the scholars quoted in the present volumes are Ash'aris, whose school of thought has been presented for readers to examine themselves. And then he mentions which section we are in. The school's position on figurative interpretation, ta'wil, of primary texts has also been discussed, and he places where they've been discussed. The latter of which explains that, like all Orthodox Muslims, the Ash'aris interpret matters of the afterlife, heaven, hell, and so on, as literal realities. As literal realities. While interpreting certain expressions referring to attributes of Allah the Most High, His hand, eyes, and the like, as figurative, meaning as allusions to His power, omniscience, and so forth. Though many, like Imam Ash'ari himself and Imam Nawawi, consign the knowledge of the real meaning of such expressions to Allah, they make tafweel, others of the school originally, in reply to the anthropomorphists of their time, have found figurative interpretations both more useful to Islam and ultimately more convincing. More useful to Islam, brothers and sisters? More useful to Islam? I leave you to judge. To support their position, he continues, they adduce that since words such as hand must be either majazi or haqiqi, figurative, or literal. And since the literal meaning of hand is a bodily limb, he himself must tashbih. Since the literal meaning of hand is a bodily limb, an attribute that is kufr to ascribe to Allah the Most High. Imam al-Tirmidhi says, if they say hand, hearing, seeing, it is not tashbih. What does he have to say about that? An attribute that is kufr to ascribe to Allah the Most High, even though Allah Himself has ascribed it to Himself. The only other possibility is that it is figurative. The Quran, he continues, contains many examples of figures of speech, such as, and he quotes the ayah in Surah Al-Isra, Surah number 17, verse 72. وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى وَأَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. Whoever was blind in this life shall be blind in the hereafter and even further astray. So he says, he quotes something that is not even referring to the attributes of Allah as being metaphorical. And he makes qiyas, analogy. Well, therefore, you have to make metaphorical the other attributes, or the attributes of Allah itself, even though the Salaf did not do that. And then he brings that statement. He continues, this verse, which does not refer to the physically blind in this life, but rather to those blind, figuratively speaking, to the signs of Allah and heedless of His warnings. Well, the verse, he continues, الْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاكُمْ كَمَا نَنْسَاكُمْ كَمَا نَسِيتُمْ لِقَاءِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا. Today we forget you, as you have forgotten this day of yours. Oh. It should be as you have forgotten this meeting of yours, meeting on this day of yours. Allah forgetting, he says, cannot be literally interpreted as a divine attribute. For Allah forgets nothing. That must rather be understood in its intended figurative sense as meaning that Allah will abandon unbelievers to their punishment. We told you what Lisan al-Arab said. It means, literally, we abandon. Subhanallah amma yushrikun. We know that this is a grave error on the part of the Ash'aris. And we can quote more. It is not enough for his companions to just say, okay, it's a matter of ijtihad, you make ta'wil, I won't make ta'wil. I'll make ta'wil. But we're still, you know, best buddies. La. We've seen the statements of the Salaf. They refuted ta'wil. They spoke in serious, grave terms with regard to ta'wil and tafwid, in fact. It's not enough to dissociate yourself from ta'wil. He quotes, he says, about the hadith in which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah the Most High laughs about two men, one of whom killed the other, but both will enter paradise. The one who fights in the way of Allah and is killed, and afterwards Allah forgives the killer, and he fights in the path of Allah and his Prophet. Allah laughs. Kamal says, the hadith master al-Bayhaqi records that the scribe of Bukhari, Muhammad ibn Yusuf al-Farabri, related that Imam Bukhari said, quote, the meaning of laughter is mercy. He ascribes ta'wil to Imam Bukhari. Let's go back to Bayhaqi's book, Asma wa Sifat, page 470. He quotes the statement, but he quotes no statement, no chain of narration whatsoever for it. And it can't be depended upon. Because, as Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, rahmatullah alayh, indeed the isnad is from the deen, and were it not for the isnad, the chain of narration, whosoever was could say whatever he wished. Imam Bukhari was definitely on the way of the Salaf. He affirmed the attributes of Allah in a way that befits his majesty. And all you have to do is look in his works, Sahih al-Bukhari al-Khalq, Khalq al-A'l al-Ibad. As for the above hadith, regarding Allah's laughing, he quotes it in two places in his Sahih. In the book of the notes of the Ansar, chapter 10, and the book of Takfir, chapter 6, and nowhere does he mention that ta'wil. In fact, Ibn Hajar, he says, after quoting the words of al-Bayhaqi, he says, I have not seen this in any of the manuscripts that we have come across. He says that in Fath al-Bari, volume 8, page 631. In fact, Abu Ubaid al-Qasim bin Salam, who died 224 Hijra, while talking about the laughter of Allah, he said, these are authentic ahadith. The ashab al-hadith and the legal jurists have conveyed them, some from others, and they are the truth in which there is no doubt, according to us. But also it was said, how does Allah laugh? We say we do not explain this, and we have not heard anyone explain it. And there are other such statements that the person wants to research more.
Then you're welcome to read the articles by my brother Abu Ramesa, which I collected quite a few statements in the Salah, and likewise this latter part of the talk I've taken straight from his works on the internet. So I think it becomes clear to the listener, absolutely, abundantly clear, the way of the Salaf. And it is obligatory upon us to affirm Allah's names and attributes as we can. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت واستغفرك وأتوب إليك.